This morning's sermon is called The Lord's Supper from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, as we continue to go through the Gospel of John chapter by chapter, verse by verse. This passage that we're going to go through this morning took place on Thursday evening, the day before Jesus went to the cross. This is when Jesus and his disciples gathered for the evening meal before the Passover. This would be the meal that Jesus broke bread and gave the cup for them to drink, both as symbols of his impending sacrifice on the cross. John didn't record the breaking of bread and drink, but he does give us more details about what happened on that night than any other gospel writer. John may not have recorded the breaking of the bread because he knew that Matthew, Mark, and Luke had already covered it in detail, and he wrote his gospel well after theirs. Biblical scholars believe that chapter 13, which we're beginning this morning, all the way to chapter 17 of John's gospel, all took place in the upper room where the Lord's Supper was and where it had taken place. So John had a lot to say. So chapter 13 to 17, John records this. All of this happened on that night with Jesus before going to the cross. John records lots of things that Jesus had spoken to them about on this evening. And in our passage, you'll see this morning that John really focuses on Jesus washing the disciples' feet and the meaning behind it. You brought your Bible with you this morning, please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. So let's take a look at our first two verses, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle John wrote, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, he should depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Jesus." If you notice in verse 1, it speaks of Jesus' hour. This isn't referring to a single hour, as in 60 minutes. It's referring to the time for Jesus to go to the cross. So it's not an actual hour. It represents the time has come for Jesus to go to Calvary to die on the cross. Jesus knew his time had come. He was about to be crucified on the cross, less than 24 hours from when we're reading about. It says the time was near for Jesus to go to the cross, and that he should depart from this world to the Father. In the second half of that verse 1, John wrote that Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, look at this, he loved them to the end. In Greek, which the New Testament is written in Greek, to the end means to the limit, to the highest limit. He loved them to the end. Agape love. Love for all eternity. This is important for you to know as a believer in Christ, that Jesus loves his own. He loves you to the highest level. Amen? He loves you for all of eternity if you are a believer in Christ. Notice what John wrote in verse 2. It says that after the supper, that the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Jesus. Notice the devil put it into the heart of Judas, to betray Jesus. You see how powerful the devil is without the Lord's protection? It says the devil put it in Judas's heart to betray Jesus. That's how powerful the devil is if you are not protected by the blood of Christ. I want you to know something very important. God didn't single out Judas. Okay? He didn't single out Judas. Judas's heart wasn't right with God, which made him a very vulnerable, made him very vulnerable for the devil to do this. Okay? You follow me, right? His heart wasn't right with God. Therefore, he was vulnerable to the devil's temptations. Scary, huh? If you're not a believer in Christ, the power the devil has. Judas was a false disciple, a false follower of Christ. He hung around with Jesus, but he belonged to the devil. Amazing. The power of the devil. Let's take a look at verses 3 and 5. John wrote, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper, laid aside his garment, took the towel, and girded himself. After that, Jesus poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them on a towel, which he was girded. Wow. During this time, people wore sandals and they walked all over the dirty roads, right? Very dusty and dirty roads. And it was the lowest servant's job to wash feet. For a teacher or a master to do this was unheard of. I want you to notice something very important. It says that the Father had given Jesus all authority, all things into his hand, the name above every name, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And look what it says. Jesus rose from the supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, and began to walk. King of all kings, Lord of all lords. In Luke 22, Luke wrote that right up until the Lord's Supper, he wrote, there was also a dispute among them as to which of them would be considered to be the greatest. Can you imagine? Still filled with pride right up until the Last Supper. Jesus is the greatest, and he knelt down to wash their feet. What a lesson for us, huh? He lowers himself to serve, teaching that his followers should live the same way with each other in a teaching. What a lesson for us right here. A lesson of humility and grace from the Lord. This is so important for us to see as followers of Christ. To be humble, to be loving, to be merciful and gracious and not prideful. The disciples were still trying to find out right until the Last Supper. I wonder who the greatest is among us. If you brought your Bible with you, I want you to turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2. As Christians, we are called to have a mind like Christ. And I want you to, if you brought your Bible, you turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, I want you to go down to verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Let's go through it. Paul wrote, look what Paul writes right away. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Underline that. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Powerful. Jesus is the greatest example of what it means to be humble and loving. This is the heart of God. This is the Lord we serve. Humble, obedient, full of love and grace. And the Word of God tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All authority had been given to Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, and he knelt down to wash feet, setting the example of what it means to be humble and loving, not prideful. Can you imagine the look on the disciples' faces, seeing Jesus get up from the table? God in the flesh, and start washing their feet. You think he was setting an example? Oh, yes, he was. God in the flesh, washing their dirty feet. Let's take a look at verses 6-9. Look whose feet are next in line. Our brother Peter. John wrote, then Jesus came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Jesus, Jesus answered and said to Peter, what I am doing you will not understand. You do not understand now, but you will after this. Peter said to Jesus, you shall never wash my feet, Lord. Jesus answered, and look at this, and said to him, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. Whoa. Simon Peter said, look what he said, Lord, not only my feet, wash my hands and my head too. Great answer. Not only was Jesus teaching a lesson of what it means to be a servant of his, but he also gives them a picture of what it means to be cleansed by God. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. In other words, Peter, if I do not cleanse you, you have no part with me. If I don't give you a new heart and a new spirit, you have no part with me, says the Lord. As in, if I do not save you, you have no part with me. Wow. Powerful words from the Lord. Jesus was giving Peter grace, but Peter didn't understand it at first because Peter hasn't laid a hold of grace at that time. He still had a great deal of personal pride. So he told Jesus, you shall never wash my feet. You're the Lord. You know, it takes humility to let someone serve you. Amen? It takes humility to let someone serve you. But Peter got it. Peter got it after Jesus said, Peter, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Peter's like, oh, if that's the case, Lord, give me a full bath. I didn't know that, Lord. This isn't only about humility. It points to receiving. Listen, this points to receiving what you see that, right? Even when it feels uncomfortable and undeserved, grace is a gift from God to the believer in Christ. We cannot earn it. We certainly do not deserve it. But God has offered us the gift of grace, the gift of salvation. But listen, we need to receive it in our heart and cherish it. You should cherish what the Lord has done for you in your heart, and I hope you do. Let's take a look at verse 10 and 11. This is very interesting. Pay close attention. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him. Therefore, Jesus said, "You are not all clean." Jesus gives us a beautiful picture of cleansing for the believer in Christ. I want you to listen carefully. Let's go through this. Listen carefully to what Jesus says. He who is bathed, saved, is completely clean. Underline those two words in your Bible. Completely clean. Jesus was telling Peter, "Peter, you are clean. You are saved. He who is bathed, saved, needs only to wash their feet. You do not need to be saved again, Peter, because you are already saved. But you still need to wash your feet." Why? Why do we still need to wash our feet? Because we're not walking in a perfect world in our feet. We're not walking in a perfect world. The washing of feet represents the ongoing need for daily cleansing from everyday sin and moral failings. Jesus is saying you still need to wash your feet. You're making sure nothing is standing between you and God as it relates to fellowship. Cleansing yourself, right? Wow, that is just really amazing. Jesus also said, if you know, he said, you aren't all clean. Speaking of Judas Iscariot. Even though Judas was physically present, he was not spiritually clean. Right? Highlighting that outward association isn't the same as inward transformation. Okay? You can hang around with Jesus all you want, but if you belong to the devil, you belong to the devil. Judas did. Let's take a look at verse 12 and 14. John wrote, "So when Jesus had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, Jesus said to them, 'Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet.'" Jesus said, "Do you understand what I have done for you? If I have done this for you, you should do this for one another." Now, Jesus isn't talking about you and I washing each other's feet. Okay, humble and loving heart like he did. He's setting the example for his followers that no one is above serving the Lord or serving the church, right? There's no task beneath a follower of Christ. That's important for you to know. Whatever God has given you for a ministry, whether it's cutting his grass, cleaning his church, sweeping his parking lot, dropping off food and clothes for the needy, folding clothes at the thrift store, being a deacon, being a trustee, being an administrator, being on the prayer warrior group team, sharing his words with others in the public, whatever it is that God has called you to do, go do it humbly with a loving heart. Amen? Be thankful and be thankful for whatever the Lord has given you for ministry, and he will honor it. He will honor it. Whatever he's called you to be, do it faithfully, and he'll honor it. Let's take a look at our closing verses, verses 15 through 17. Jesus said, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Here's an exhortation for the days to come. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. This turns the moment into a command. Serve others in the way Jesus served. This is a call to live it out. This is a call from the Lord to live it out. I want you to understand before we close. At this time, Jesus was getting ready to send these men out as sheep among wolves. And he's less than 24 hours from the cross, and he wanted them to be an example of him, what it's like to be an example of him as they go out as sheep among wolves in the world. He wants his example to go with them, just like you and me. Go in humility and willingness to serve. And did you notice this? And I promise a blessing. Do you see that, right? You see that in verse 17? Right? What's it say? Blessed are you if you do that. Blessed are you that go and serve with a humble and loving heart, in humility and willingness to serve. Jesus says, I'll bless you for doing it. Amen? All right, let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord. We thank you for opening our hearts and minds to know, to take away what it means to be a humble servant of yours, that no job is below a follower of yours, as the highest, that we're all equal. We're all in this ministry together, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word and helping us be humble. And thank you, Lord, for speaking to us directly that if you do not wash us, you do not cleanse us, you do not save us, we have no part with you, Lord. Thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen.